I come to you today with good tidings. If it were a Bible story, I would say, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." If it were an old-fashioned carol tune, I'd say, "Good tidings I bring to you and your kin." But the short version is, I have good news for you. You see, this morning we continue our journey toward the manger. I mean, that's really what Advent is about. It's a season not just of preparing for Christmas, but it's a season of making a journey, making our way toward the birth of Jesus. We are marking our time, candles glowing bright this morning. We began the Advent season by receiving the good news of hope, the good news that good news is coming. And today, we light the candle of peace. I think about the many times I have lit that candle of peace in my life as that second candle on the Advent wreath begins to glow. I remember sitting around my family's table with our Advent wreath, right? Throughout all the many different years, different ages, all the things that were going on, the busy schedules, changes in our home lives, all that life would bring. There was a moment each Advent season when we would get to sit at our table and light that candle of peace together. It was that good news of peace arriving once again. If you do not have an Advent wreath and you would like one to have in your home, we have some. Talk to Brandon, talk to me after the service. We can send you with one today so you too can have that moment of lighting that candle and watching peace glow and grow in your home. Also, I think about all the times I have lit the candle of peace as a pastor. How many times I've watched communities of faith gather together and light that candle. This is my 10th Christmas here at Highlands. Our 10th time lighting this candle together. We lit the candle of peace when there were half as many of us gathered on a Sunday. We lit the candle of peace while our world was falling apart for different reasons of different seasons and times. We lit the candle of peace when all of our windows were replaced by cardboard and plexiglass during the renovation. I remember lighting the candle of peace just days after the Sandy Hook shootings, as peace took on a whole other cry for us. Last year, we lit the candle of peace from home during lockdown. There have been so many different moments, the ups and the downs, some of them exciting, some of them uncertain, some of the moments of grieving, some of the moments of celebration. The good news of peace arrived in all of them. Every Advent and Christmas, I always have 1 week when I'm writing my sermon when I begin to panic and I think I have nothing to say that I haven't already said. Right? I mean, think it. It's hope, peace, love, and joy. The baby will be born. God is with us. Let's try it again. Hope, peace, love, and joy. The baby will be born. God is with us. Same thing every year. Sure, the scriptures, they shift a little bit, but it's really all the same. Hope, peace, love, joy. The baby will be born. God is with us. And let me tell you, this was the week I had that small anxiety. Okay, it wasn't small at all. Days and days, my family listened to me say, I don't think I have anything to say. Sometimes my wife looks at me and says, well, do you need to say anything? But that's a separate conversation. This was that week for me. This week, and then I started to remember last year's sermon, and I was like, oh, that was such a good one. Maybe I could just use that one again. Actually, last year's sermon on peace is one of my favorite sermons I've ever preached. Since we were pre-recording worship at the time, we could record sermons anywhere, and I preached the sermon from inside the Christmas tree. I was talking about how that tree can weather storms because it has a wide support system and a deep anchor. I made sure to try to, I'll add it to the homepage. If you go to the worship gallery to look at this week's sermon, if you want to catch last year's, I'll put a little link there for you. But last year, I mean, it just fits so well, right? The idea of finding peace as we weather storms. That was certainly last December, no question. But this year is different. The sermon from any random year doesn't fit who we are and where we are in this specific moment. The hope, peace, love, and joy are steadfast, even though we in our lives are ever changing. hope, peace, love, and joy. The baby will be born. God is with us. Same thing every year. And maybe that's part of the good news we receive today. That in the constant change and ever-moving realities of life, through the ups and downs, the excitement, the uncertainty, the grieving, the celebrating, the good news of peace arrives again. The good news is we get to receive the good news again. And the peace we receive this day meets us where we are to tend to our unique moments in this time. I was really thinking about that this week. How to even begin to describe where we are in the world right now. How do we describe a moment in time like this? Everything feels like an awkward in-between time. Despite those living with reckless abandon of denial, the pandemic is still with us. It's different now for sure, but it's still here. Or I think back of the attention in 2020 that was given to the brokenness of society, particularly surrounding the treatment of black and brown bodies. That attention elevated some conversations, but the seismic shift we really need has not come, and so we still wait. The realities of climate change have left us high and dry and snowless at a new point of worry here in Denver. It doesn't have to be a white Christmas. I'll just take an inch of rain. We're beginning to see the untenable tension in so many industries and professions as burnout sets in and priorities shift. I consider all of these many factors, which then, of course, are only layered on top of our own personal joys and concerns, right? All of the regular lives we're living are still affecting us and changed by all of these things. The word I continued to come back to over and over this week as I thought about life was the word unsteady. Last year felt stormy, right? The harsh winds trying to knock down the giant tree in the parking lot. This year isn't so singularly identifiable. It isn't one single thing pushing. It's this ever-present unsteadiness. Life is wobbly. It's hard to find balance. Something is askew. It actually got me thinking about the big Christmas tree in the parking lot again, which shouldn't be a surprise because I think about that tree all the time. Sometimes my wife's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm just walking outside to see the tree. I just, I'm out there. But every year when we set it up, right, we first set that frame layer in place, these giant metal rings. You guys know what I'm talking about. You were there, right? We get those big metal rings in place, and then we pull out a collection of levels. Right, some of them are magnetic with a little bubble. Some of them are on strings that hang across because it's a very complex process. We have to make sure the tree will be steady. But even before the levels come out, we know it isn't steady because you can lean on the metal frame and watch it jostle at the unevenness of the parking lot, making itself known. I met the folks that paved the parking lot. Good people. They did a great job. This is not a critique of their work. It's a really good parking lot. But unevenness and unsteadiness is just a reality of the ground around us, isn't it? It's uneven and can leave things unsteady. That uneven ground is not only a reality in our parking lot, it's actually uneven ground is a motif in our scriptures, particularly our Advent scriptures. We hear it in Jeremiah. We hear it in Isaiah. We've heard it from John the Baptist, right? That voice crying out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. The mountains shall be made low and the valleys lifted up. Have you thought about it? This is an uneven ground scripture. The mountains, the valleys, the change. Today we get to hear the refrain from a brand new place, at least for most of us. Today's scripture comes from a book called Baruch. Many of you might go home and open your Bibles and be like, Baruch is not in here. Baruch is not in every Bible. You see, when the scriptures as we know them were put together, oh, there were councils and there were votes and some of the books and the writings made it in and some did not. But then once the list was finished, there was a period where some new writings would be discovered. They're like, oh, hey, look what we just found. And other books got a second look. Hey, remember how they voted this down? Maybe they shouldn't have. And since the list was already made, the binding had already been put on it in a certain way, the scriptures got put in what could be best described as an appendix, a postscript of sorts, a collection of books that were like, oh, and these. It's often and formally known as the Apocrypha. So here the author of Baruch, who most likely wrote around the same time as Jeremiah during the period of exile, offer us a word today.
Take off the garment of your sorrow and affliction, O Jerusalem, and put on forever the beauty of the glory from God. Put on the robe of the righteousness that comes from God. Put on your head the diadem of the glory of the everlasting. For God will show your splendor everywhere under heaven. For God will give you evermore the name, Righteous Peace, Godly Glory. Arise, O Jerusalem, stand upon the height. Look toward the east, and see your children gathered from west and east at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that God has remembered them. For they went out from you on foot, led away by their enemies. But God will bring them back to you, carried in glory as on a royal throne. For God has ordered that every high mountain and the everlasting hills be made low, and the valleys filled up, to make level ground, so that Israel may walk safely in the glory of God. The woods and every fragrant tree have shaded Israel at God's command. For God will lead Israel with joy in the light of God's glory, with the mercy and righteousness that come from God.
Now, before we get into the mountains and the valleys, I would like to take a moment to simply appreciate the beautiful imagery that opens the scripture today. Take off the garment of sorrow and affliction, O Jerusalem, and put on forever the beauty of the glory of God. Such a beautiful image. It's what the author's audience was longing for, right? To leave the difficulty behind and embrace the promise of God's glory. That is their hope. That is the promise. But they must go home first. They must literally return to their land. And the journey will not be easy, literally or metaphorically. At the time of the writing, no travel was easy. Roads were simply well-worn paths. And if you were well-to-do, if you had the money to pay for it, there were people whose job it was to go before you and literally smooth out the road so that you didn't feel things as roughly. That image was known to the original audience of this scripture, but the author expands on it. It's not simply the filling of potholes and the pushing of rocks out of the way. Now it is something more. For God has ordered that every high mountain and the everlasting hills be made low and the valleys filled up to make the level ground so that Israel may walk safely in the glory of God. God is promising some people for whom life has been very unsteady, people for whom life is oh so wobbly. God is promising steady ground. Steady ground that will offer the stability and certainty. Steady ground that will offer peace. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? To move through our lives over steady ground, even in unstable times. This was the promise. This was the hope. But what to do until those mountains and valleys were moved? Right? They had to make that journey before any of that. You see, each year when we set up the tree, amongst the giant metal frames and the boxes of branches and ornaments, these plastic containers filled with nuts and bolts and tools, sitting in that massive collection of stuff is a small pile of wooden wedges. Little shims. Some of them, I didn't want to pull them out because they're being used. Cross-cut 2x4s. Giant wedges of wood. Sitting amongst these parts of masterful engineering and technology is a bunch of wood scraps. And as we center these little bubbles in the level, we put these things right underneath until everything holds its place. As we watch the level bubbles find their center, they are then held in place by these wood scraps. Now, yes, someday the parking lot might be perfectly level. But what about today? What do we do until the mountains and the valleys are moved? What do we do until the world becomes this beautiful, stable place? The Hebrew people to whom Baruch wrote, our world today and the Christmas tree in the parking lot, we all share the immediate problem of unsteadiness as we await the long hoped for and promised smooth road ahead. And just like the tree team breaks out these splintered wedges to address the problem now, God invites us to find our footing in the unglamorous wood of a manger. Christmas arrives to offer us what we need to steady ourselves in an unsteady world. When we're feeling a little off balance, here comes hope to get us just where we need to be. When things are coming at us and we're not sure how to handle it, oh, let's get a little peace right here, a little love, a little joy until we find what we need. The true gift of God with us is these Advent promises that find their way into the unsteady lives that we live. Whether they're the little gaps, whether they're the big divots, the spots in life that feel askant or askew, into those places, good tidings we bring. For God is with us to uphold us and to ground us. The peace we are offered this Christmas is not only the hope-filled promises of what someday will be a world where valleys are lifted up and mountains are brought low. The peace we are offered this Christmas is also the pieces we need to find peace right here and right now. Amen.